So welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Damien Thompson, who is the Director of Distribution for the Principality Building Society. Hi, Damien.
Hey, Adrian. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. Very well. So, Damien, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a bit about you and a bit about the work that you do?
Yeah, so I look after all of the distribution for Principality Building Society. That includes our work with intermediaries, our direct-to-consumer channels of the internet, branches, and our telephony teams. Mm-hmm. And within that, I've also got responsibility for our provision of mortgage products across our network.
Okay, fantastic. Now, we connected via a recent customer experience conference where you did a talk where you talked about what you've been doing with regards to transforming the customer experience you deliver within the building society. But what was particularly interesting for me from your talk was how you've replaced a performance target sort of culture, which is quite common in many firms, with more of a behavioral model that delivers sustained and consistent improvement. Now, that's really interesting. What I wanted to ask you was, can you tell me a little bit more about that and why you did it and the sort of results and improvements you've achieved?
Okay. So I've worked in financial services for about 22 years.
Uh-huh.
And I therefore have had a significant experience in terms of seeing how companies try to deliver financial services.
Mm-hmm.
And how that impacts on customers, and more in particular, how that impacts on colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I would say is being within the banks and within the culture, there's been an individual culture,
right.
Individual performance culture, individual regional culture, individual division culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what that's driven is really a lack of focus around really putting the customer first.
Right.
So when you give people a performance target, they worry about their individual performance. And once that's achieved, do they really start to then worry about the customer and the organization's performance? So individuality drives certain issues, which has pervaded the banking world, but getting people to look at what does the customer want and how can we build on that to support the company's objectives has been something that I have really been working to try to change within our organization. So, for example, instead of people having individual targets which relate to performance or a number, why not spend a little bit more time talking to people about the behaviors we would expect to see focused on customer service and differentiating the organization, and that started to pay rewards.
Okay. Now, I think the thing that's interesting, if we sort of dive into that a little bit, is that I think there's a lot of people might be sat here listening to this and nodding their heads and going, yeah, no, that sounds kind of great, but is that not the one of the biggest challenges with moving from a performance target culture to more of a behavioral kind of model? Is it not managing the transition away from individual targets to something which is a bit more collective? And if so, what have you done to try and manage that transition?
So I think there's three things that any leader, if you're thinking about doing it, are going to be your challenges.
Yeah.
If it's been a culture that's pervaded for a long time,
mm-hmm.
then changing that overnight is an absolutely unrealistic expectation.
Right.
So you need to set a time frame upon which you believe that you can achieve that. Secondly, if you really want to put the customer at the heart of your organization, you have to physically find a way of doing that.
Right.
Third, you need to really be clear with the individuals and the teams to really highlight to them how working together as a team can really benefit the customer. So if I talk to the first one or the second one about putting the customer at the heart.
Sure.
In most firms, they will talk about we follow customer feedback rather closely. But that is generated usually from someone within a head office function, choosing a group of customers who've had an experience and sending them a survey about their experience.
Sure.
Now, by the time that loop happens, the person that's most fundamental to really acting on the customer's feedback gets it last, which is a colleague that serves them.
Yeah.
So what we've done is, in order to implement and cement this, we've worked really to create a tool where, as the customer engages with one of our colleagues, we ask that customer to give us feedback on their interaction. And most importantly, we ask them to tell us what they think we could improve on.
Right.
And actually, that has been the cement around which we've built the building blocks of a more customer-focused organization. And the beauty of what we've done with that, Adrian, is that that feedback can be seen by everybody across all of the channels. So let's say, for example, you go into my Queen Street branch.
Yeah.
And we get a bit of feedback from a customer about a process or the way we serve them. The next morning, everyone in all 54 of my branches, the chief executive, right down to the customer consultant, can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you're asking them to create a behavior where, right, you've noticed that bit of feedback. How would that have happened? If that happened in your branch, how would you have responded? And therefore, the someone in a branch who's 2,000 miles away can kind of go, ah, that's how that customer felt about that. So if that happened in my branch today, how would we respond to make sure that that doesn't happen? And I'll give you a classic example of that.
Sure.
We had a customer come into our branch and talk about, she came in with her mother to deliver a service, but her mum was elderly. And at the end of the interview, she gave us great feedback, but she said to us, none of the chairs in your branch has holds for my mum to get up from when she's seeing you, and she struggles because she's got really bad knees.
Right.
The next day, all of our branches came back to me and said, Damien, look, why don't we change it so we can put at least one chair in every interview room that elderly people can use to get up? We did it overnight.
Right. Was that simple?
We have never had that feedback again.
Was that simple as simple as putting getting chairs that had arms on them?
Arms on them.
Fine. Brilliant.
So when you look at reality of what customers are telling us, and then some of the stuff that they tell us would be things that are so simple to do.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example.
Sure.
I have a real pet hate of, if you're going into your financial services business and you're going to have a 2-hour interview and someone asks you if you'd like a cup of tea or coffee, it's not a cup of tea or coffee that would be made at home.
Right.
It would be something that comes out of a machine.
Yes.
I believe our customers should get real tea and coffee. You will not believe, Adrian, the compliments we get from customers for a real cup of tea and coffee.
Yeah.
And the complaints or the grudges we get from customers where we don't offer it.
Right.
Now, what's really interesting is the branches who are not offering it have seen the response from the customers who have had it and how wonderful that is. And then you start to ask the branch manager behavior around, how are you setting yourselves up for interviews? You maybe got 7 interviews a day where these customers are coming to us to talk about things that are really important. Why couldn't we make a cup of tea and coffee? And why are we not buying that from the local corner shop to help them support their high street?
Yeah.
While at the same time giving our customers a fabulous experience.
No, it's you're right. I think it's fascinating, kind of like the feedback that you get and how kind of like some of the little kind of changes are just so simple. But yet, what I find fascinating is how we lose perspective in businesses around what's important to a customer. We kind of get lost in kind of what we think is important, and we forget to try and imagine kind of what it's like as a customer.
Imagine. So that was our first stage. Imagine the stage now where we've added a forum where people can come and talk about their experiences and what they've learned from customers and add it to the forum to help everybody in every branch in my call center across my teams to improve service. So there's a forum where people go and log on and say, look, we tried this and it was a really poor experience for the customer and we fixed it. So if you're in a branch, don't do this because it doesn't work.
Right.
And some of the feedback we get from there is significant. So what you start to then start to create is, if you start looking at measuring behaviors and differentiating with people around behaviors, you can start to say that the people who are the heroes within your organization, so people who deliver great service, get customers to give us feedback, but the ones who share things that can improve the customer journey.
Right.
So rather than moving away from saying the guy who delivers or sells 20 of these widgets is the best person, it's actually the best person is the guy who can get customers to respond to us, who can learn from it, and who can share his insights with the wider group.
Right.
And therefore, everyone starts sharing. You create this sharing economy, and everyone is looking towards what makes the company better.
Yeah.
Not absolutely. What makes their individual branch or their individual region or their individual division.
I see.
Because everyone's looking up at the big picture rather than trying to say, I've got this expertise and I'm going to keep it to myself, because keeping it to myself gets me a better reward and grows my part of the business rather than growing the whole of the business.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, there's another idea that that I've come across which some firms kind of use, and it's a way of kind of trying to encourage the collaboration and take it onto a different kind of level with regards to service, where, you know, so you're talking about how people deliver great service, but then also kind of measuring how much they share into the organization. So it has both an external and an internal sort of like kind of dimension to it. But another kind of dimension that I've seen some firms kind of do, which measures a collaboration dimension, is to they measure things when they talk about, we were talking about football earlier, and we talk about kind of like in football, they talk about goals and assists.
Yes.
And so some firms are actually talking about successful service interactions or being able to deliver successful service to a customer, but then also kind of measuring how many assists people get in terms of helping their colleagues deliver that great service too.
Absolutely.
And that's
a really nice theme that goes on top of this, because I really like that, because it effectively it gives people a hook on what we're doing. But the benefits are of such significance, because if you look at me as director of distribution, I've got people who look after intermediaries who provide mortgage business to us.
Sure.
So they're going into people's homes and they're choosing principality.
Yeah.
And I've got this group of people that go and work with these intermediaries. You know, these intermediaries have some of the best practices across the whole of the sector, and every single banking institution has this type of team.
Yeah.
But if you start to say to yourselves how much of what they're gleaning from the outside, how much of those great experiences, how much of that interaction that they're seeing from working with the best brokers in the marketplace gets fed back into your training and your support and your development of your own internal business, in most companies, it's zero.
Yeah.
So what we are getting those guys to do is to share what they're seeing to support our guys in being better and delivering fantastic service for our customers. And they are rewarded within the same reward group of every single colleague.
Right.
Within the organization. So what's about is, if you cut it down to three things, I've got a strong focus on self-regulation.
Right.
There was a period where we as human beings had a great aptitude to keep on learning.
Mm.
And that's mostly when we were children, and we regulate ourselves to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a second action, which is outside in.
Yeah.
What are you seeing inside your branch that would help someone outside?
Yeah.
Or what are you experiencing in a great service interaction when you go on holiday in a restaurant that you would think, I'd come back and share that with the business?
Mm.
And then the third one is speed of action. So when we see something going right or something going wrong, the speed at which we can share that and either replicate more of it or reduce it totally from our organization is critical.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see some really significant results. So up until today,
mm-hmm.
our NPS across internally within our business is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
But much more important than that, we've got about 50% of our customers who respond to the surveys we send them.
Wow, that's cool.
You know, if you look across the industry, that's on average about four.
Well, exactly. I mean, that just measures kind of engagement. Your engagement is off the chart.
Off the chart. And what we're trying to do now is to turn that into really building recommendation, really building focus, really keeping our promises to our customers, and then get into the stage where we will go into our branches and say, you told us this, we have done that.
Yeah.
So the loop is continued for the customer of, they actually do something with this feedback.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And it's starting to really have really good examples and really, really starting to see the colleagues in the business who are absolutely on top of it and driving it through the organization.
That's fantastic. Now, if I kind of wind kind of back a little bit, you talked about the early parts, and you talked about sort of timeline and what it takes to sort of to do this manager's transition. So I've got two questions. One is that what sort of timeline did you work to in terms of managing this transition? And did you do it as a complete business kind of rollout, or did you try it and you pilot in areas and then learn and then iterate and then kind of roll it out? How did it work?
So effectively, the timeline to change any culture, and it's really interesting in terms of, I do a lot of reading on behavior and in terms of leadership and management and change. And one of the things that has come to me really is, you've got to be very careful of saying you're going to get to change people's behaviors.
Sure.
What you need to do is help them to create new habits.
Yes, indeed.
And therefore, I say that the change is maybe taking me 9 months in thinking.
Yeah.
So having the idea, doing the research, looking for the opportunities, looking for the thing that creates the cement to the building,
mm-hmm.
and spending some time on that 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then 6 months is finding someone within my organization that I believe over the 9 months I could share my philosophy, we could debate it, we could think about it, and then using that person and their team as a bit of a rollout and pilot.
Right.
And then I went from pilot straight to rollout across the team. So 6 months for pilot and then rollout across the team, across all the areas. But then I go a little bit more in terms of, first of all, get people to engage with customers and get feedback.
Uh-huh.
But within that process, make sure people are aware that you're happy to receive negative feedback.
Yes.
Because you want to learn, and therefore show people that by inciting negative feedback, there's no reaction to them as an individual, but there's a more affirming of the fact that we as a company are comfortable to learn from that.
Excellent. So that in total would make somewhere in the region of, crumbs, that's just over 2 years.
Over 2 years. And it's not finished yet, because once you've done that, you then need to get them to share the information and be comfortable with sharing what's going well and what's not going so well. That's another 6 months.
Yeah, okay. So
and then you get to the stage where you start saying to them, right, so on the back of these, on the back of the things that we are doing, we will show you that we've changed processes, procedures. We've done some continuous improvement also alongside this to say the things that customers are saying to us add no value.
Yeah.
How can we strip them out of our processes? So colleagues say, oh my God, they're actually listening to what customers are saying and they're helping me to improve my interaction.
Yeah.
So you line that up. And then I think you go into the next stage, which is about focusing now on really building their confidence to deliver recommendations.
Okay.
So I would say I think I'll be about 4 years through before I'm comfortable that we are on the path. And then obviously you have new people joining your organization and you need to make sure that they fit into the way you see the world and that they're recruited to fit the type of people who are going to make your strategy work.
Yeah.
So that's another layer of it. So I don't think I will ever finish having to tweak it, but I think no, it's the main swim lane of the organization for colleagues in distribution.
Excellent. I mean, and what it does do is it illustrates that actually a transformation like you're talking about, this is no quick fix.
No quick fix.
This is a big commitment.
Massive commitment, because you have to weed out, or you have to coach and develop new habits in the people who really may not agree that this is a long-term way for the organization.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we are seeing a level of success relating to this and recognition from our colleagues that is really of significance.
And what's been the impact on the sort of engagement from your from an internal perspective for your employees? I mean,
we've got customer satisfaction, and our last index is running about 88%.
Uh-huh.
In a majority of my areas, we've got customer colleague engagement score of circa 90.
Wow. Okay. So it's like a big. It really is a huge win-win.
It's a huge win-win, and I think for us, you know, we are now getting other banks and other insurance companies coming and wanting to talk to us, particularly after that conference that we've done around. There were a lot of cynics around it in the beginning, but now people are coming back to me and saying, actually, this seems to be shifting the dial.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, how can we talk a little bit about it? And I've got big banks coming to see us. And we're a relatively small building society, but we're number 6 in the UK. We're looking to grow. And ultimately, we believe it's the foundation upon which you build an exceptional business.
Fantastic. But so, Damien, let me bring you back to the talk, because there was another angle to the talk that you element in the talk that you mentioned, and it was about how you're getting your people and business involved with the community, your local community, and how that's going to also deliver kind of immeasurable kind of benefits. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
If you look at it, you think about it logically, we are a building society who's been here for in excess of 150 years. We have branches that lay in the high street of where our customers live and work.
Yeah.
And we've always been very much focused on the communities. We hire people from the communities where we work, in the circumstance where branches, and then particularly in areas where the banks have closed branches, we've opened agencies to support financial services within those towns.
Right.
But certainly we wanted to go a little bit further and put the branch manager back within the community and start to talk to the communities about things they want or things we could help them with. And therefore, freeing up the time for colleagues to go and engage in things that will drive forward the community has been something that we've been very happy to do. But last year, we took a little bit of a different tack where we said to the communities, tell us something within your community that you believe needs significant support.
Right.
And that is really making a difference in your community. And each branch, each unit of ours was invited the community to come in and make those nominations. And we had a tremendous degree of nominations. And in the end, the winner was a small charity based in Pembrokeshire, which allows children who are looking after their parents because of illness, drug addiction, other efforts to get some semblance of normal life. Yeah. And this community group helps them to come up for a couple of hours a week and to do things.
Okay.
And we really supported that group. And at Christmas, we gave those children a Christmas party.
Right.
And the branch manager led it, the community led it, and that's what we're starting to see. And we've now brought somebody in dedicated to help us to engage across communities.
Yeah.
So far this year, we've raised about £40,000 that we've spent in local communities, engaging with them, doing things that would support them. And we're going to go even further. So some of the things that I'm thinking about would be, could we design a game that kids could play in the summer holiday?
Right.
That, for example, the child who gets the best score at the end of the summer gets invited into Principality to receive a prize or does something special for them. Or if we find that they've got a special talent, could we use that to recruit them into some part of our business that might be around analytics or IT?
Yeah.
So how do we really start to engage the community and parents in something that helps to grow their children and grow their communities? Because part of what we're looking to is to make our communities better and thrive more. So we've got a number of new ideas that we're working through, but we keep colleagues really close to it.
Yeah, yeah.
We give them the time to be able to do it. We support the branches in doing it. And, you know, one of our branches, for example, in Prestatyn, has just been nominated for the High Street Hero Awards because the branch manager in that area has been working with businesses and saying, how do we keep this high street alive?
Right.
I'm going to help you to lead that.
Right.
I'm going to help to put some prosperity back into this high street. So they do special evenings on the high street where all the businesses come together And we've been leading in that forum, in that area. Once again, try to take that and would it work in other communities where we are? So being a part of the community, but being in a real demonstrable way is something that we've always done. Yeah. And now we're trying to take it to the next level. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have such a high level of engagement with our communities and such a high level of people responding to us, because customers can feel the genuine focus of an organization.
Yes. I mean, it feels, it's also going to make, it's also got this kind of feel to it that you are almost like by them, for them.
Yeah. I say to people, it's like an American business called FUBU.
Right.
For you, by you.
Yes.
You know, and it's that type of stuff that we need to engender. And I think more and more and more, we don't do it because we've it's just the latest. We actually have been doing this for 150 years. So we know we are maybe better equipped than many of our competitors to take this to the next level.
Well, absolutely. But it's also kind of, it means, it feels like a logical kind of extension of the other sort of stuff that you're doing. So if you're listening to kind of customers and getting feedback and actually looking at what's going on around you and feeding that back into your organization, and then it's almost like there's a, you're almost just establishing greater kind of like kind of roots into the community. And so it feels like you're not a transient presence. You're there for you're there for them.
And I think what it does, Adrian, too, as well, is it challenges managers.
Yeah.
So if you look at where we are in most organizations, or, you know, I take your football team.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've got a star striker, you can either choose to hope that you're going to win because he scores more goals than everybody else.
Yeah.
Or you can say, I've got a good player, but I can work on concentrating and developing everyone.
Sure.
Now, what the feedback allows us to do is to spot the colleagues that need our help as managers.
Yes.
And therefore focus our time on spending time with those colleagues and not just relying on the guys at the top who are going to put it in the goal, but try to develop everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, what you find within our organizations is that colleagues get the help that they want, that they need. Because the manager is listening to what the customer is saying, going in and saying, have you thought about this?
Yeah.
I want to sit with you. I want to help you. And therefore, you get this organization. And one of the things that I am certainly, I believe, is no one comes to work to do a bad job.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we help them to do an even better job?
Yeah. I think.
And how do we make it behaviorally based? So it's something that you continually do.
Absolutely. Damien, that's kind of fascinating. And I'm just a little bit conscious of time here. So is there anything else you'd like to add, or any top tips for any of our readers and listeners that are thinking about taking on a transformation kind of like this?
I think three things I would say to people if they're thinking of taking on a transformation like this.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, utilize people outside of your industry.
Right.
Go and find best practice. It may be right in front of your face.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the exceptional chippy or the fantastic hairdresser.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to live within your industry. Number two, be brave.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you may be trying to do may not be the norm within your industry.
Sure.
So therefore, make sure you've got real strength. Thirdly, plan appropriately. Do not give your boss or your organization false hope about it's going to be done quickly. Changing behaviors never is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you do those three things and you execute them brilliantly, you have a really good chance of success.
Fantastic. So, Damien, that brings me to my final question that I always ask in these interviews. And the question is this. Is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
It's really interesting. When I saw it on the interview, I really thought about it. I guess what I would like to plug to people is there's somebody in your past that you've not spoken to for a significant period of time. Give them a call and say hello.
Nice. Nice.
I like to plug that.
That's amazing. That's brilliant. I think that's Yeah, well, no, that says a lot. So thank you for that. That's brilliant. And Damien, thank you for your time today. That's kind of been brilliant and what a fascinating story. And congratulations on your success. I mean, about making not just a real difference to the business, but also to the people in it and kind of the customers that you serve and the communities that you're established in. It's been great learning all about that. So thank you very much.
No problem, Adrian. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Take care.
Cheers.